Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final hour here this Friday, last day of May on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Tiki Barber coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Back to NBA talk, we'll get to. Zach Harper will join us in our very next segment. He's the NBA writer for The Athletic and on SiriusXM NBA Radio. Talk about Kawhi. Talk about the surprise. It's not really a surprise. Raptors have been playing so good at home. It's amazing up there in Toronto. The fans are energetic as heck. Pascal Siakam, who we talked about, 32 points on 14 of 17 shooting. Marc Gasol being a defensive nuisance. And really, the Warriors not being familiar enough with this Toronto Raptors team and got caught unawares in a lot of ways. The 16 turnovers, which Steve Kerr talked about, led to 24 or so fast break points. And let's face it, Nick Nurse did a hell of a job. He's been doing a hell of a job all season, which is playing a defensive style that forces teams into the half court. And by that, they crash the offensive board. You see all these offensive rebounds so that opposing teams, especially good ones like the Golden State Warriors, don't get in transition, right? What did we talk about all previous series with the Golden State Warriors? It was Draymond Green grabbing rebounds and then breaking out on in transition and setting everybody up for easy baskets. That's exactly what the Toronto Raptors don't do. They crash the boards with Marc Gasol and Siakam, and they force you to play in the half court. And once you get in the half court against a very long team, a defensive team like the Toronto Raptors, you get bogged down. They're really good at switching. It was a fun game one to watch. I think BT would take back his assertion that he has no interest in this NBA Finals going forward, because it's awesome right now, and it's going to be awesome. And I think the rebound from the Golden State Warriors will be telling. Steve Kerr, as we cannot forget, is a master tactician as well. So this offseason, we are going to see a lot of transition. And I started my show talking about this and how free agents to be, and there's a bunch of them, Kawhi and Kyrie, KD, Klay Thompson, Kemba Walker. I don't think Klay is going anywhere. Anthony Davis is kind of a free agent, even though he's not. He's going to be traded. Jimmy Butler as well. They really have to think about where they want to go in free agency. There's teams that are on the hunt. The Celtics, the Nets, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Knicks. The Knicks we talk about a lot because BT is a huge Knicks fan, and he thinks KD and maybe even Kyrie get two of these max contracts will come. But I cautioned against some of these guys moving around without looking at the makeup of the roster. What the Raptors have done in building this team with Siakam, who they drafted in 16, and Fred VanVleet, who they acquired as a free agent in 2016 as well. They developed those two guys mostly in the G League. They were back and forth in the G League and, 15 or so times. And they turned into these really good, reliable players. And Siakam is on the edge of becoming a star. Not a superstar, but he's on the edge of becoming a star because he's so good defensively. And it looks a lot like what the Warriors did. They built and drafted very well. They developed the players, and then they added KD as a superstar, which pushed them to two consecutive NBA titles. And then they now have three over a four-year span. They're in their fifth consecutive NBA Finals. But as I think about Kyrie and who is going to be the most exciting, the most in demand of these free agents, obviously, Kevin Durant will jump to the top of the list because it's what we think about when we think about the best player that's free. LeBron's not free. And I don't even know if LeBron was free that KD would still wouldn't be number one. Kevin Durant is likely number one on that list. But I think we can start to argue in some capacity that Kawhi, what he's shown in this postseason, is surpassing Kevin Durant in a couple of ways. Not in totality, but just in a couple of ways. Think about how KD has won finals MVPs and how he's been dominant in postseasons, really regular season and in postseason these last few years. It's because when the Warriors need a bucket, they drop it down to KD, whether he's in the mid-range, whether he's out on the perimeter, and he knocks down shots. But he needs the ball in his hands, right? It's him scoring 40 or 50. It's him being, you know, a rebounder and a presence in the paint on the defensive side of the ball. But it's predicated on him having the rock and him scoring. We see this sometimes they suffer, like Clay and Steph sometimes suffer sometimes when KD has to go off. Now, that causation relationship actually may be inverted. You know what I mean? So when Clay and Steph are struggling, KD has to step up. So it's one way or the other. But it really is all about Kevin Durant having the ball. Kyrie is the same exact way. And he pounds the rock into the hardwood more than anybody I know. Now, he's fantastic. It's awesome to watch. He's putting people on skates and making them trip and kissing the ball off the rim and shooting three-pointers. Kyrie is amazing, but it's all about him possessing the ball and being creative and making shots or setting guys up. Clay's not going anywhere, so we won't even talk about him. But when I think about what Kawhi is doing and really showed last night, is that even if he has an off day, an off night shooting, it's still about him creating for other guys and constantly looking. It's not like he got the ball in the post or a wing or wherever he was, and he's just trying to create a shot. You know, like a lot of these stars, when they're off, and Kyrie has done this multiple times, and he did it multiple times this postseason, when he's off, he just keeps shooting. Right? How many? What did he have? Like, it was a couple of days, 8 for 22 or something like that, and then there was a 7 for 22. And I think he followed up with a 6 for 22. Right? He just kept jacking up shots, even though he knew they weren't going down, or he was being defended so well. When you watch Kyrie last night, he was 5 for 14. Kawhi last night, I think it's a Kyrie. When you watch Kawhi last night, Kawhi Leonard, 5 of 14. If you dug into this game, if you really went back and watched it, you'd see when he knew he was defended well or he knew he wasn't in his spot, he didn't force it, right? He wasn't, I got to score. It was, all right, how can I set my guys up? All right, how can I trust my teammates? And I don't know if we see this from some of the other players. And so if you're an executive and whether you're the Knicks or the Clippers want both of them. I'm sure both teams would want both of these guys. But if you had to choose between KD and Kawhi, I think what Kawhi is showing, obviously he's a great defender, defensive player of the year twice, a shut down defender on your star, right? That's what turned the series in the Eastern Conference Finals was when Nick Nurse said, all right, Kawhi, enough of this nonsense. You lock down Giannis. And he did, and frustrated Giannis to the point that he was ineffective. He still scored his points, but he was ineffective. He wasn't the dominant Giannis. He wasn't the MVP Giannis. Nick Nurse had a tool that he could execute, that he could use to execute a precise and a fantastically executed defensive game plan with Kawhi Leonard. So you wrap that all together. Right, the defensive dominance that Kawhi has shown throughout his entire career, the fact that he can score when he needs to, he can put up 40 if he needs to. If you slouch off a little bit, or you don't switch properly, you make mistakes, he's going to knock down shots, and he can hit them from everywhere, just like KD can. But the fact that he can involve his teammates, and more importantly, when he's off, he's willingly involving his teammates. To me, makes him the guy that I would want. I mean, am I wrong about this? What do you think? 855-212-4CBS. 4227. If you had a chance, Kyrie, KD, and you really dug into the D, Kawhi, why do I keep saying Kyrie? Kawhi Leonard, KD, and you dug into the details of what makes each of them great in all situations, you can argue, and I probably would still go with KD, but you could argue that Kawhi might be the better option. And it's maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment. I definitely am a prisoner of the moment. But what I saw last night was compelling. It was different. It was not the superstar NBA player that I'm used to watching in this type of situation. KD's got to shoot. He wants to score 45 every night. Same thing with Kyrie. Klay's different because he's more of a role guy. But of those three that we talk about, even Jimmy Butler to an extent, I think I'd want Kawhi. Am I wrong, Samter?
It's close. It's closer than I thought it would be. I would still probably take KD, but remember, KD's 3 years older.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's older.
And here's the one thing, and we say this about...
He hasn't had injury issues, but...
No, but...
And that's the one thing you knock on Kawhi.
Absolutely, but here's the other thing that I think about, and because Kawhi's been healthy this year.
But one thing I think about restrictions, with... Minute restrictions, you know,
for sure, but the
some.
One thing I think about with KD is when you got these guys who are in their, you know, 7 feet, 6'11", mm-hmm. once they start having lower leg issues...
That's a good point.
Whether it's Greg Oden or Sam Bowie from years ago, it's a spiraling, now, you know.
In his defense, it's not a structural issue. It's a calf.
But one thing, you know, the hip bone is connected to the leg bone. The leg bone is connected to the ankle bone.
It's true.
It just continues. And I'm not saying that that's what's going to be the case. KD might never have another injury, but I always worry about these really tall, athletic guys who have lower leg problems at some point just to worry about the snowball effect.
Yeah.
I still take KD number one, but if I could get Kawhi and build another piece around Kawhi, I think Kawhi has a better chance to win. I think you bring KD just because he's probably the better player.
Yeah, because he can dominate and take over a game at any point.
But a healthy Kawhi is the best two-way player in the NBA.
No, there's no doubt about it. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Now, KD, and this is because of Steve Kerr and the way he coaches and what he asks of his stars. And this is Steph as well. Remember when Steve Kerr first got to the Golden State Warriors, Steph wasn't guarding the opposing team's point guard. Steve Kerr put Steph on the ball handler, and it forced him to work a little bit more. He did the same thing with Kevin Durant. KD, you might be down in the post. You might be actually playing center at times, but you got to rebound. You got to be an influence, a presence down there, and he does it. I think Kawhi Leonard has worked his way. Maybe not fully on par, but what we're seeing and what we could see going forward is going to be really interesting as we start to evaluate where he ranks in the top five players in the NBA. I mean, he's easily in the top five, but where is he in that top five? And which one of these guys would you want? It's something that we can ask Zach Harper, NBA writer for The Athletic, SiriusXM radio analyst and host as well. He's coming up next here on Tiki and Tierney. Is Kawhi proving that he's the best free agent commodity in the NBA? I think he's getting close. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news is a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. We're joined on the phone now by Zach Harper, writer for The Athletic and SiriusXM NBA radio host. Zach, how you doing? Thanks for hopping on.
I'm excellent. How you doing?
I cannot complain. So we're having this discussion about KD versus Kawhi because of his versatility, obviously offensively and defensively, but we saw last night, he was off a little bit, maybe because of the Steve Kerr design defense that slowed him down a little bit, but it still felt like he was effective. And you compare him like KD, who has to have the ball, or Kyrie, who has to have the ball. I mean, how much is he doing for his perception as one of the top three? Maybe jumping, you know, above LeBron at some point if he wins a championship. Well, how's he? I mean, this is amazing what he's doing, even when he isn't scoring 40 points.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's been remarkable. He's been the best player in the playoffs so far, and that's not a prisoner of the moment thing. Like, he's that good. Like, he's one of the best players in the league. If he hadn't taken off, you know, 20, 22 games this year, he would have been in the MVP voting. Like, he's one of the best players in the world, and this is stuff we knew a couple years ago. You remember the MVP race between Russell Westbrook and James Harden, mm-hmm. and I think Kawhi got only 8 first place votes for MVP that year. To me, he was the MVP that year. Like,
yeah.
He's been this for a few years because, like you said, like, he does it on both ends of the floor. I was super impressed with him last night just because he's not known as a playmaker. Like, he's not a black hole type of scorer by any means. He'll pass the ball, but he's also not known as this willing playmaker at all times. And he took the way that the Warriors were trying to defend him and trap him, and he just made calm, poised decisions the entire night. And he didn't shoot well.
Yeah.
He made up for it with moving the ball, with playing defense, grabbing rebounds, and then he got to the free throw line a bunch of times and helped put them over the top.
Yeah, no, he only had 5 assists, and a couple of them were in transition to Siakam, but they were like hockey assists. You know, a lot of what he had going on, which is impressive as hell to me. And you're right, we don't think about him in this light, and some of it is because of his personality, like his demeanor. He's the anti superstar, and I think I'm gravitating towards that in a way that I didn't think I would, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, right? Like, I mean, he doesn't talk. He has no interest in it. Like, I think he likes the spotlight in the sense of we talk about him because he's a great player.
Yes.
I think he enjoys being regarded as a great player, but he doesn't feel the need to go out there and put. And I don't have a problem with people who do. Like, you get to that stage, you're that good at your job. Like, you want to talk and show out. Like, by all means, go ahead and celebrate that. That's a lot of hard work paying off. But he doesn't do that, and I almost think, man, I would love to be the marketing person for New Balance, which is not a sentence I ever thought I would say out loud. But I would love to be, just because the creativity you can have with trying to market him as your star of a guy who's that quiet. Like, I just think, like, to me, the gears get moving inside my head, right? Like, I start thinking of all the fun ways you can do that. And I just think for him as an icon in sports, being, like you said, he's kind of the anti-superstar. Like, it's a fun little wrinkle to what we typically cover.
No, you're absolutely right. We're talking to Zach Harper, NBA writer for The Athletic and SiriusXM host. It's funny because you could create it, to your point about, I didn't even thought about it, but now that I'm thinking about it, because he's so stoic, if you just got him to, like, crack a joke, I mean, how impactful would that be?
The simple thing of him saying in that press conference in media day before the season, where you're like, I'm a fun guy. You know how many jokes people in Toronto have gotten off that? Like, just a little sentence like that. Like, it's gold.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. Look, Masai Ujiri has done a fantastic job at putting this team together. You go back and look at it, and it rivals, or at least it mirrors a little bit what the Golden State Warriors did, right? They build some guys with Steph and Clay and Draymond, and you add some superstars. Well, they become superstars, and you add some superstars. Like, we don't think about the Raptors and Ujiri doing this, but he really did. Like, he drafted Siakam in 16, basically played in the G League for half the year. Same thing with Fred VanVleet. Both of these guys are great contributors for this team right now. Then you add the superstar, and it hurt because you had to get rid of DeMar DeRozan, but it hurt a little bit. But it's kind of a similar move to what the Warriors did. He's not getting enough credit, I don't think, for how great of a job he did. Not just for Kawhi. I mean, that was a coup, but for all the other things.
Well, you think about it too, like, Danny Green was a throw into that deal.
That's right.
You know, like I mean, that, and Danny Green last year looked like he might be done. Like, very good last year, and then all of a sudden this year, one of the biggest different makers in the regular season. You see, he hit a couple shots last night, and it just pumps them up even more.
Yeah.
He took risks in terms of, like, going out and getting Marcus Gasol, who is a better player than Valanciunas.
Yep.
But he can be a free agent this summer, and he can walk. Kawhi Leonard, that's you're hoping that's not a one-year rental. You give up the most popular player in your franchise. That's a risk. Like, he's willing to take these risks. And what I love about Masai is when he first took over, you know, he trades Rudy Gay, and he's like, look, we're going to blow this thing up. We're going to rebuild. We're going to do it properly. He traded Rudy Gay. He started looking into Kyle Lowry trades. And then all of a sudden, they started winning. And instead of sticking with his plan, he pivoted, and he goes, oh, wait, we actually have something here. I can build off this. I don't have to tear it all down, right?
Yeah.
I have no problem with tanking. If that's the strategy, if you're willing to take the lumps in terms of PR and selling tickets and all that stuff, if you're willing to take those lumps and you have a sound strategy for doing it, I do think for a couple of years it's not a bad idea as long as you're not going too extreme with it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But in terms of being open to having – you know, to having your plan not necessarily be the right plan and being able to adjust on that. I mean, Masai is just one of the smartest guys we have in this league. You look at that roster, not a single lottery pick on that roster. He's used lottery picks to go get the guys on that roster,
yep.
But like he's finding those diamonds in the rough.
Yeah, no, and if it wasn't for LeBron going back to Cleveland and them getting knocked out in the Eastern Conference Finals and the semis 2 years in a row, I mean, this plan probably could have happened a little bit quicker. So you got to give me more credit. For that. When you think about, you know, Kawhi's decision, every time a Toronto fan calls his show, I ask, you have a Kawhi Leonard jersey? None of them have Kawhi Leonard jerseys yet, even if he's only there for a year. I mean, it might be worth investing in one. But when you think about Kawhi's decision, I know people are speculating he wants to go back home, which could be the Clippers or even the Lakers, but I doubt it. But if he wins here, how hard would it be for him to leave Toronto? They love him already, and he's only been there for a season.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird, too, because, like, with Toronto, and I don't think it's this way just strictly across the board. I don't think it's a country that is completely in love with basketball yet. I think Toronto is, but in terms of Canada, like, I don't think it's a country that's completely in love with basketball. You still have, you know, plenty of people who much prefer hockey, whatever. But you do become the star of a nation. Right? Like, you don't get that with any other team in the NBA. Like,
no.
You get an entire country behind you, essentially, in terms of those who follow basketball. So that adds an element to it. And I think with Kawhi, I think he will make his whatever decision he wants based on what he wants. I don't think anything's going to influence that. I think he will decide. Like, that's the type of dude he seems to be. And I think that's what he'll trust. If it means leaving a championship team, that sounds crazy, but I think he's going to march to his own beat there.
Yeah.
I think with the decision and what he's going to end up doing is look, I've heard all season long, up until even before they beat the Bucks, I heard all season long, look, this dude's going to be a Clipper.
Yeah.
Like, he just is. He's going to be a Clipper this summer. And the two examples I draw from that are a couple years ago, Gordon Hayward,
mm-hmm.
the entire final season in Utah, I heard all year, he's going to be a Celtic. He's going to be a Celtic. And it sounded crazy at times. He ends up being a Celtic. Last year, heard the whole year, Paul George is going to be a Laker. Paul George is going to be a Laker. He re-signs with the Thunder.
Yeah.
I say that as though we don't really know what these guys are ever going to do, even though we hear it time and time and time again. And I think with Kawhi, he is someone who will compartmentalize everything and just make a decision based on what he feels he wants to do the most.
No, I think you're right about that. It's good insight there. Zach Harper, NBA writer for The Athletic and SiriusXM NBA Radio. Zach, the Golden State Warriors, I'm not worried about them. They didn't have a ton of familiarity with this Toronto Raptors squad. Kawhi and Kawhi didn't play in one game. I think Steph and Dre didn't play in another game. So they'll adjust. I'm not overly worried. The turnovers were bad, 16. That led to a bunch of fast break points. What do they need to do without KD in order to steal one of these on the road?
I mean, I think you said it right there. It's the turnovers, because the turnovers turned into transition buckets for the Raptors. Raptors really sped up opportunistically, which they're very good at. They're one of the best transition teams in the league. They don't do it more than most teams, but when they do it, they're very good at it. And so I think just cleaning up that, you know, cleaning up the turnovers, they had, I think, 10 in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And the Warriors have issues with turnovers year in, year out, right?
Yeah.
They're sloppy with the ball. They're a little careless. But if they can cut down a couple of turnovers here, you know, we get back in transition, make that a point. It does cut down some of what Toronto can do. Golden State felt pretty confident in their strategy, the execution of that strategy for the most part defensively, and where they were able to defend in the half court. If you cut down half of those transition points, which granted is a lot, but if you cut down half those transition points, they probably win that game.
And yeah.
So I don't think it takes much, but it takes that attentiveness.
Yeah. Are you in the camp of they need KD or in the camp of they can do it without KD?
I mean, they can do it without KD, but everybody needs KD. I mean, he's one of the greatest players we've ever seen. He's a 7-foot shooting guard who can do everything. Like I think they can win this series if he doesn't play. In fact, I picked the series thinking he wouldn't play. I picked the Warriors in six. I don't know how confident I feel in that, but I believe they can do it, but everyone needs Kevin Durant.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it. Zach, another not free agent, but an interesting offseason character this year will be Anthony Davis. Now, David Griffin, you know, he has a history of building a champion. We saw this in Cleveland. Is he, blowing a hot air that's not going to go anywhere, trying to get AD to stay in New Orleans?
He's doing his due diligence right now. He's doing his job. Like, he's trying, like, his first job should be convince AD to re-sign in New Orleans. Say, hey, look, we got Zion, we got Drew, we're going to make this trade, we're going to make that move, we've got a better medical staff coming in. Like, we are going to make this a first-run organization, right?
Yep.
That's his first job. If AD says, I'm good, I want to go somewhere else, then you got to trade him.
Yeah.
And then you maximize it. So I think right now it's a little bit of hot air, but that's what he has to do. He has to make it look like, look, we might keep this guy. You got to, like, what do you got for us in a trade? Because we might keep this guy. Like, all this public stuff does have a purpose.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It'd be great to see him stay, but I get it. At this point, when he's 8 years in, he's got to try to go win a championship. That's what the superstars do.
Legacies matter, right?
Yeah, that's all that matters. Zach, I appreciate you hopping on with us. Thanks for giving us some insights, and hopefully we'll catch up with you down the line.
Anytime, appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Zach. Zach Harper, NBA writer for The Athletic and SiriusXM NBA radio host. Sam Darnold, watching film of Peyton Manning. That is a good thing. But you'll never guess who else he's watching film of, which is not so much a good thing. Get that next with the blast. But here's Zach's update. It's time to answer your Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Will Rellamy at Will Spot with two T's. Who will be the X factor for the Raptors to go up 2-0 after game 2? I think that Draymond now has an understanding of Pascal Siakam's offensive game plan or skill set. A lot of floaters that Draymond just wasn't ready to get up and defend against. So it's not going to be Siakam, I think, for game 2. I'm going to say it's going to be a bench player. I'm going to say Fred VanVleet, who's been outstanding from range over the last few games for the Raptors. So I'm going to say Fred VanVleet. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros or tweet us at cbssportsradio using the hashtag AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Tiki and Tierney, last segment here on a Friday. Hope you guys are all ready and driving safely to wherever you're heading. It's supposed to be one of the more beautiful days of the last week today. We're supposed to go to a barbecue tonight. I think my wife wants to bail because she has been sick all week. We need to sleep. But I think I actually want to be outside. Maybe I'll barbecue myself if we all decide to go. But we'll see. What are you guys doing this weekend? Anything fun? Samter? D-Cell?
No, I got nothing.
Nothing?
Oh, no. You know what? You guys
should come over to my house one day. Seriously.
I've been there. I'll come back. We'll hang out with Snooki. I hear she just had a baby. So
she did
nice.
Just have a baby. Yeah. Nicole, we call her.
I don't know what that means.
If you don't know her, you call her Snooki. But if you know her, name is Nicole.
We're like this. Me and the Snooks, we're right like this. Although, actually, no, I lied. Saturday is a big day. Huge day.
What is happening?
Gigantic day.
Which is?
Let's go Spurs, baby.
Spurs? Oh, the
Tottenham Hotspur and Liverpool.
Liverpool.
So me and somebody is going out to a bar to watch the final.
Not a Spurs fan, are you?
I am not a Liverpool fan.
What?
Yeah.
You know I like Liverpool.
I know.
Well, so you're hating on Liverpool simply because of me right now.
Not necessarily just that. I lived in London for a while, uh-huh. So like I followed some teams and the Spurs were
like,
by the way,
what we're talking about is the Champions League final, which is the Tottenham Hotspurs and the Liverpool Reds playing each other on Saturday. Huge game.
Yes.
It's a big deal. Liverpool just lost out on the Premier League title by a point to Man City.
Man City was down 1-0 in that last game.
And by
too.
The way, it was a record number of points that Liverpool scored this season, and they still finished second. So they're obviously it's second record They're second on the record on the point list because obviously Man City had
Boo-hoo. 1.1. Let's go Hotspur. And just
a forgot.
Note.
Thanks for reminding me, by the way.
Yeah, I think it's 3 o'clock Eastern is the start time of the game. And I actually just learned this. I got yelled at on social media. It's not the Hotspurs. It's the Hotspur. Mm. But when you're referring to them as the Spurs, then you add the S.
Ah, okay.
I had no idea. I got yelled at by a couple people.
It's British.
Yeah, I know.
It's British.
Somehow Worcester turns into Worcester.
Doesn't make any sense. It's the Queen's English adaption to plurality.
Yeah, they got it wrong.
You ready for the blast?
Sure am.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, number one, Sam Darnold, my guy, BT's guy, is studying from former quarterbacks of Adam Gase, Peyton Manning, great. I mean, anytime you can learn from Peyton, that's great.
Of course.
And of course he's learning from the other great Adam Gase former quarterback, Jay Cutler. What? Do I really want to have Sam Darnold learning from Jay Cutler?
Hey, don't forget, Adam Gase was John Fox's offensive coordinator. God, what year was that? Was it 2014? Maybe it's 2015. I can't remember what year it was. He was there for a year before he left to become the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. And Jay Cutler threw like 20 touchdowns and had, or maybe 21 touchdowns and had like 11 or so interceptions. I think it was 2015. So what he's likely showing him is an offensive scheme that he wants to employ that Jay Cutler at times, but not always, executed well. Should you be a little bit worried if you're a Jets fan? Yeah, of course you should be a little bit worried if you're a Jets fan. But he did have some success. Jay Cutler did have some success under Adam Gase, which is why when all of his quarterbacks, Ryan Tannehill in specific, got hurt in Miami, Jay Cutler came out of retirement after committing to being in the booth. And now he's just sitting on a beach with Kristen Cavallari.
Worst things could happen. That guy needs a haircut. Jeez. I mean, I don't know what's worse, Cutler or Mark Davis.
Do I have his income over his? I mean, he made so much money; it makes no sense. He can do whatever he wants.
I mean, it makes sense. It's just absurd.
No, that makes no sense. How much money he made? It really does.
It's like Sam Bradford
in the NFL.
He wasn't good
enough to make that much money.
Yeah, it's like Sam Bradford in the NFL. It does not make any sense. 6 teams: the Braves, the Yankees, the Rays, the Cardinals, the Twins, and the Brewers, who we just spoke to Zach Davies last hour. Are all interested and in on the Dallas Keuchel sweepstakes.
You think somebody like jumps in and usurps the
I mean, I basically just named all 32 teams. So I think that it's
no,
a chance.
But do you think someone will do it
before the draft?
Before the draft. Which doesn't make any sense because you can just wait and he has a choice anyways because he's a full free agent. But
sure, but like if you're Keuchel. Well, so the question really is, what's the best landing spot for him? But if you're Keuchel...
Yankees.
Okay.
It's the Yankees.
That was quick.
You know it is, because CeCe's banged up, even though...
That's the team that might need him the most. What's the best landing
Pineda's
spot for Keuchel?
Out for the year.
Yep.
They've had so many injury issues. CeCe's going to be fine. He'll come back and play, but you worry if that's going to reoccur because it's a knee injury on his landing knee. And when CeCe talked about this about a week or so ago... He said he just can't finish pitches, and that's when sometimes when you can't finish pitches, that fastball, which is only about 90 miles an hour now, creeps up in the zone, and guys just take a yard. I'm going to say the Yankees, even though all of these teams could use them. The Rays sound interesting because right now they have only 2 starters in Blake Snell and Charlie Morton, but the Rays won 90 games with 1 starter last year, so I think they're above. They're ahead of the game from last season. So I'm going to say the Yanks.
3 former UCLA football players are suing the school for negligence with how they handled injuries.
Wow!
Now, obviously, we know a lot of schools deal with these kids, and some of them maybe skirt some of the lines in order to get them in, and sometimes they're just trying to toughen the kids up. So here's the question: if these players win the lawsuit, how big of a precedent and how dangerous could this be for the NCAA moving forward?
I saw this story. I didn't read it fully, but isn't there aren't you indemnified against these things? Aren't you Is there like a waiver or something that they sign? And if it's gross negligence, I get it. Like if you tear your ACL, or let's say ACL is too obvious. Let's say you tear your PCL, which I did, by the way, and I didn't even know I did it. But say you tear your PCL, you complain about your knee hurting, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's fine. Go out there and play anyways because we need you. And you go out there and play, and you end up getting a lot of laxity in that joint. You develop, scarring, or you get, bone-on-bone arthritis. That I can understand if it's gross negligence. But if it's just, minor things, I think it is a dangerous precedent, Sam. I think it becomes something that a lot of players who suffer an injury believed that they were NBA or NFL quality players. Or I guess it's not. This is all it's football players, NFL quality players, and the injury robbed them of the opportunity to play in the NFL, thus make millions. I mean, how many people would sign up for that? So yeah, it's a very dangerous precedent if this goes to trial.
So Tiger struggled right off the bat, bogeying the first hole.
Mm-hmm. This is today, you mean?
This is today.
Yep.
Birdie, birdie, birdie on 7, 11, and 13. Then double bogey on 15. So he's even on the day. Mm. 2 under after 17. 1 hole to play. He's going to make the cut. He's tied for 33rd. Cut looks like it's about +2. But he's still, I think, 7. Yeah. Now he's 8 shots off the lead from Martin Keimer. Are you believing that you're more... Are you more convinced that he's the Tiger who won the Masters or the Tiger who struggled at the second major and is now kind of middling around the mid-30s here?
I think it's harder for Tiger. I'm surprised at Memorial, by the way, because this is Jack's tournament, and Tiger knows this course. So I think Tiger has a chance to win majors, really any tournament, when he's familiar and he's got a game plan and he's not... he's not having to, go through his Tuesday practice round and the Wednesday pro-am and really figure it out. Like, I got to be here. If he knows it, then he has a chance to win. I'm kind of giving you both answers. He can be like the Masters, but he's got to know the course, which is surprising in some sense that he's struggling on this course because he knows it pretty well.
You should run for the Senate. Just straddling both lines right there.
Hey.
Speaking of something very interesting.
I don't want half the people to hate me.
Well, I mean, I already do. So I don't know if D-Cell likes you, but you got one negative vote. All right, so there you go. You're right there. We saw a record 8 kids tied for the championship at the Scripps National Spelling Bee. 8. Now, we've had a couple ties, I think, from 14 to 16.
Yeah.
There were two-way ties. So they instituted a tiebreaker. From 17 and 18, they got rid of the tiebreaker this year. So now 8 kids are going to share the title. Should they have just kept going?
Yeah, keep going.
I think they went.
What's the point? Seriously.
They went 37 rounds or 27 rounds, something along those lines, of extra bonus action.
When they
and
had
every
it.
Single kid.
When they had the tiebreaker.
After every kid was tied, they just kept going. It was 26 rounds. Every kid, all 8 of them, kept getting it right. So they were like, we have no more words to use.
Yeah, you do. You can just make up one. Yeah, I don't know.
Make up one? That doesn't work.
Or use like a...
The Scripps make up a word and then guess what it might mean?
Use a foreign word. That's what you should do, right? Like, use a German word. I don't know. Pick one. The epicness of the length of it is what makes it interesting. But you ultimately got to have a winner. How do you have a spelling bee without a winner?
8 winners.
Look, so when I was in high school, if you had a 4.0, you were valedictorian. And I had a 4.0. I didn't take any advanced placement classes. And so I had a 4.0. But there were guys that had a better than a 4.0. Brooks, what was his name? I forget what his name was. But he had like a 4.2. But because we all had 4.0s, we all were valedictorians. There's like 11 valedictorians in my high school. So
it's like a participation trophy.
Well, I claim it. But, I mean, somebody actually won it. The heck was his name? I forget it. I'll remember.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
What the Brown? I can't remember what his name was. It's going to drive me crazy. I'll think of it like 2 o'clock this morning. Game two of the NBA Finals is on Sunday. I think we will have great play because we got great play by both sides last night. The Warriors just made too many mistakes. They will not make the same mistakes again. I think we leave. I don't care if I'm right or wrong. I think we leave Toronto tied 1-1. But I think we come back to Toronto tied 2-2. That's a conversation for next week. Appreciate everybody. Have a fantastic weekend. Thank you, D-Cell. Thank you, Samson. See you guys next week. Be well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.